Would you pray with me? Holy God, we thank you for the good news of the gospel. We thank you for the saints who have gone before us, on whose lives, on whose testimonies we stand. We thank you for your word revealed to us in Christ Jesus, on which we stand. We thank you for the testimonies of those around us, for the lives lived out in following after your word. And so help us to hear this morning good news from your word, from scripture, and from the testimonies that are shared this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I got a call from Rob a few weeks ago. He is working through this idea of discipleship with his students this year. How do we deepen our faith? How do we know what it is we believe and then share that with others? And so one night he was talking about testimony, about being able to share your story and the importance of being able to share your testimony. And some of the students said, well, if it's so important, how come we haven't heard Pastor Laura's testimony? Touche. So with that gauntlet thrown down, I started thinking right about what this could look like, which led me to think about this week. I had already chosen today's text because it seemed a good one for Reformation Sunday, and it seemed to lend itself to this idea of testimony as well. The passage is just a short one from Romans 1, verses 16 through 17, in which Paul says this to the church in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith, for faith. As it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. This is the word of the Lord. Two short verses. Dan, can you actually leave them up for a second? They're two short verses, but they pack a punch. If we move backwards through the text, I note or wonder a number of things. What does it mean to live by faith is one such wondering. And then in the middle, I stop and ponder this idea that God reveals himself to us through faith, so that our faith might be strengthened, so that he might be revealed to us through faith even more. Faith is both a gift and a calling. And then right at the top, I note that all of this, our faith living lives of righteousness, all of this is possible because of the gospel. I was over at Emily's a few days ago talking about this text, and little Will was sitting on her lap. And so when I mentioned the phrase, I am not ashamed of the gospel, Will asked, what's a gospel? And I said the first thing that came to mind, it's the good news of Jesus' love for us. Which is maybe a simple definition, but I think it works. The gospel is the good news of Jesus' love for us. So we could reframe that first statement of this text and turn it into a question. What does it mean to be unashamed of Jesus' love for us? For our faith to be shaped by that love. To acknowledge that we desperately need that love. To know that that love is ours for the having, to receive that love, to live out of that love. And so that's really the question then that will shape our time of testimony this morning. And I'm going to invite Sheila and Emily to join me up here. And the three of us, each of us are asking a slightly different question as it relates to how love reveals God to us, how love strengthens and shapes our faith. My story is really one about coming to know and understand what the love of God looks like. If you know anything about the Enneagram, I am a 3-wing 2, which means that I want to get things done, I want to be successful, and I want to be well-liked. A lot of my life has been spent proving myself, earning people's admiration. In high school, I did literally all of the things which you could do in a high school of 90 students, right? I played every single sport. I was on student council. I was in every play and musical. I was on the yearbook committee. I organized the school dances. I was the person at school parties who went around and cleaned up behind everyone as they reveled and frolicked. On the one hand, I just enjoy helping people out. I like to be part of things. I like to be involved. But the side of it that creeps in far too often is the belief that people will only like me, will only love me, if I prove myself to be worthy of their love, if I am exceptional, if I bend over backwards to make people happy or keep them happy, if I am not a burden to them. And my own ideas then of what love looks like have been kind of warped by this. Right? I really have to work at pushing these thoughts aside in order to trust the love that people offer me. And all of those thoughts then affect how I think about God's love. It's hard for me to imagine unconditional love, which is why I'm so grateful that God gave me Jovita. My sister Jovita, I've talked about her before, has Down syndrome. And that means a lot of things, but it mostly just means that she's wired a bit different than the rest of us. People often say that folks with Down syndrome are always so happy. I don't think that's true. My sister has a whole range of emotions. But maybe what that thought is getting at is that people with Down syndrome, I think, love a bit better than the rest of us, because their love, most of the time, is bigger than ours, is simpler than ours. This is certainly true of my sister. Her love is constant. When I go home, she does not ask me about my accomplishments. She does not care about my degrees. She will run out of her room when I arrive and give me a hug that is far too long. And she'll just say, "There's my little sister." I am her little sister. That's it. That is who I am to her, and so she loves me. No matter if I'm not very nice to her or not the best little sister that I should be, which is true a lot of the time, and regardless of any merits that I might bring to the table. And I think if my sister can love me just because I am her sister, how much more does God love me just because I am his child? Even when I mess everything up, and irrespective of all of my efforts to earn that love, and all of the times I fail at doing so, I am his child. He loves me. So when people ask me, "Why do you believe in God?" Part of the answer is because he has shown me what his love looks like. Because our love, in its most beautiful form, has to come from somewhere, from something, from love itself. And so as I live out my faith, I think for me this looks like learning to trust God's love and accepting that love, even when I know I don't deserve it or haven't earned it. To recognize that even despite the unworthiness of my heart, the brokenness of my own heart, God's heart is for me. It's a pretty constant journey. But if faith is both a gift and a calling, then God has given me the gift of a sister, a family, friends, a boyfriend, who show me glimpses, just shadows, of what his own love is like, so that I can live in faith that his love for me is constant, is unconditional, is perfect. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Sheila.
My testimony.
It's on. Just hold it like right. Yeah, good.
My testimony today focuses on Jesus' love for me and my need for it. But more importantly, how Jesus used many of you to deliver that to me. So I just have to take a minute and look out at everyone today, because I'm going to have to look down and read my testimony sometimes, but I just want to have your picture in my mind, because I wish I could say all your names, but Jim said no. I don't think you should do that. I may mention a couple only because it adds a little bit to the story, and I love it when Pastor David does that when he preaches. He'll call out a name of someone in the audience. But I just appreciate all of you, and I hope I can get through this without getting too emotional, because I tend to go there sometimes. Since last January, I have been having such sciatic nerve pain. Some of you know what that is. My nerve is being pinched, and my whole right leg was at times would just be in such pain in my back. So after dealing with that for a time, it was decided that I had to have surgery. So 6 weeks and 4 days ago, I had it. And you can't see it, but I'm going to show it to you. I get to wear this belt, this fashionable belt, for 12 weeks. This has been a journey of many emotions, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about that now. I've read a lot of things sitting in my house, and two scripture verses have been really important to me, and you're going to you'll know these. The one is from Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." A long time ago, a friend told me, "Did you ever use that verse like this? Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I. Be still and know that. Be still and know. Be still and be still. Be." And that is where I found myself every day, to get up and not be able to do much. Not having an exciting social calendar that I'm so used to, not being able to hold my grandchildren, not being able to go to church, I would just wake up and just sit there and think, "Lord, what today?" So it was lonely, and I felt unproductive, and of course I had pain. So there I was. And that's where my second verse started to become important. "Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the person who takes refuge in him." His goodness, his love, his care came out to me through you, my church family. And I was blown away. I never have experienced it quite like that before. Your cards, so many cards. Some people... cards, I would read them and I go, they have been far worse than I have. Like you, Ruth. You've been through a lot of back surgeries. One card I got from my young nurse friend, Sydney, a really cute card, and in it she said, "I could give Nurse Jim some tips if he needs them." Because Jim isn't here today, I kind of wish she would have, but anyway, he did pretty good. And another thing is, I would, on really bad days, I would get up and I had them all on my mantle and I would just reread them. So know that when you buy a card, it's worth it because you reread and reread on the bad days. I just had to do that. Your prayers. Knowing that you were praying for me was very powerful and I definitely could feel it. And sometimes I would get afraid because of my pain or because of my journey or because I couldn't go home from the hospital when I thought I could. And then I remembered that you said you were praying for me, and that just felt really powerful. And I felt like I was taking refuge in God through that. Your conversations. I could not wait to come back to church. I just really could not wait to come back to church. And that first time I came back, I was just, so many people came up to me and hugged me and just were so happy to see me, and it just felt so good. It just felt like you were my family, and I love that. And people came over and shared coffee or sandwiches with me or took a walk with me. And Joan, I will never forget our conversation one Sunday morning. I was so low that day, and I just felt scared, like my back wasn't getting better, and she just told me her personal story, and it was just so timely. I just needed that day, so I just thank you for that. The text, you know, we text now, and I love it because I got a text from my prayer partner. I got a text from people prior to my surgery while I was laying in the hospital. It all helped. It all just helped so much. And now finally, I'm going to tie into the verse that said, taste, the part of the verse that says taste and see, the meal train. That meal train is fabulous. So many amazing meals. And I remember Mary Winkle, my care group leader, she asked me before surgery, she goes, Sheila, do you think you would like the meal train? And I said, well, I talked to Jim and he said he can handle it. And she goes, no, you're getting the meal train. And we were both very happy for the meal train, so all your food was just so delicious. And so I'm bringing my testimony to close now because Emily wants to talk. But I will never forget this vulnerable yet really beautiful space that I was in and kind of continue to be. To receive this goodness from Jesus through you, my church family, has been so amazing and healing. And I hope that I can do better for people after what I experienced. So now I have a new kind of two verses that I love. I merge them into one. Just be and let me, with a capital M and a little m, meaning God and people.
I think in all of these testimonies, it's just the idea that, again, that faith, that love is a gift and a calling, that God gives us so much, and that God then calls us to be love to one another in our community, in our neighborhoods, in our families. There's a quote I love by St. John of the Cross that says, where there is no love, put love, and you will find love. And I think that's the invitation to all of us, the calling for each of us, that we're all called to bear witness to God's love. That's our testimony as a church as well. I would love for all of you to be able to share your testimonies of how God has shown up in your lives. We would be here a really, really long time. But I'm going to invite you to join in a communal testimony as we sing about our faith, about our belief, our